Welcome to the Full Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:05 Irish Summertime. Today is October 7th. Well, it's been another very difficult day for investors in the stock markets. We saw yesterday that the US indices rallied well off their lows, and that gave a bit of support to Asian markets this morning, as well as, of course, the fact that the Royal Bank of Australia cut interest rates by a full percent in here today, and that certainly helped to bolster that stock market. It was up almost 2%, having plumbed the depths and made new lows earlier on in the session. So that was a bit of a support for some of the markets in Asia. Certainly not the Nikkei, because that was down 3%. But right across Europe, you were up for the vast majority of the day and in excess of 2% in some markets. They more or less closed either flat or down on the day, as the US came in stronger but gave up its gain right throughout the day and is closing out the session in here down almost 6% on the S&P and the Nasdaq, and over 5% on the Dow. So it's completely retraced those bounces that we saw from the lows yesterday. What we continue to see in here is that there is an incredible degree of volatility and anxiety in the markets, and certainly we are getting people just selling positions because they can't take the pressure anymore, and that is certainly something that is very easy to understand, because the stress of dealing with these types of markets is quite incredible. But what we are also seeing is that the Fed set up a fund today to invest in commercial paper, where they're talking in the UK about creating a fund to inject liquidity directly into those bank shares. There's talk of something like 60 or 70 million pounds. So that's not an insignificant amount of money to be injected directly into the banking sector. And of course, there is still the prospect that we're going to get a concerted effort to cut rates. Well, Ben Bernanke talked today about the option of cutting rates further, and certainly the odds are increasing that we're going to get a move somewhere in the Eurozone and in the UK relatively quickly. If they were all to do it together and come out with a concerted effort to cut rates, support markets, and then make a unified statement that they were willing to do whatever it takes to help support these markets, that would be a fantastic boost for confidence. We're just not there yet. What we did see today was that when the news about the commercial paper investment came out, we saw the TED spread coming down. Now, over the last 3 or 4 weeks, the TED spread has put in a series of three higher lows, and it pulled back today. It did not break that progression of higher lows. So, yes, it has hit a near-term peak, but the uptrend for the TED is still intact, and it does need to do something further. We also see that the VIX failed to make a new high in here today, although, gosh, it's very high and it's very, very close to its peaks in here right now. One of my colleagues sent me some of the Investors Intelligence Advisor sentiment indicators just before I started the audio, and I think that report comes out tomorrow, and I'll post it. But what it contains is that advisor sentiment is at its most bearish in something like 18 years, and the only times that it has been more bearish than it is now were in 1990, in 1982, and 1978. And following all three of those bearish climaxes for sentiment, the stock market rallied significantly over the next 3 or 4 months. So that is definitely something to keep an eye on. That does not say that we won't see new lows coming in here, but what we are can certainly say is that this market is now accelerating lower. It is becoming strongly diverged from its mean around the 200-day moving average. And just statistically, when something becomes divergent from its average in the bell curve, it doesn't spend too much time out there, so the more overextended it becomes, the bigger reaction back towards the mean we're going to have. And certainly, we're getting a cacophony of bearishness in here right now. I think it is setting us up for a mean reversion rally, which could quite easily take us back up towards the mean and into Christmas and the early part of New Year. However, what happens after that, well, we'll have to see and wait and see what happens, because if we do get markets rushing back up towards their 200-day moving average over the next couple of months, then they'll have done a lot of work and they'll look overextended by the time they get there, and then it will be a question of whether they can consolidate there and push back above those 200-day moving averages, or whether they're going to fail up there again and reassert this rather consistent downtrend. Certainly, a number of markets are just as consistent on the downside as they were on the way upwards. And just like the 200-day moving average was a support for so many markets over the last 3 or 4 years, it is also now a barrier for them on the downside. So they do need to push, they need to break their progression of lower highs firstly, consolidate those gains, and push back above their 200-day moving averages. And of course, if they can, and of course, I should also reiterate that while we expect this to happen, there has been no evidence of an upward dynamic in any of the major stock markets, or indeed any stock market, to evidence the fact that we have actually hit at least a near-term low. But when those upward dynamics do start to come in, then we're going to be in for quite a big rally. And it is certainly something to watch out for. This is certainly not a time to be becoming more bearish as markets accelerate lower. We already know from that advisor sentiment indicator that the vast majority of people are already as bearish as it gets. And that is not a good place to join them. So I think at this point the risks are probably towards the upside, although we do need to wait for those upward dynamics to signal that we have reached an accelerated low. Looking at a couple of these other asset classes, well, you'll have seen lots of those charts of the yen that I posted yesterday, and the yen is the strongest currency in the world at the moment, as yen carry trades are closed and money repatriated, and all those yen that have been shorted are bought back. And that is likely to continue as long as this deleveraging process continues. But once deleveraging stops, then this accelerating trend upwards for the yen, and in some cases for the dollar, is likely to be reined in quite significantly. So that is also something to be aware of. Because of the incredible volatility that we have at the moment, even the best looking trends are unlikely to be sustained. And it does look like at the moment that the things that are strongest are the ones that are going to get hit hardest, because it will be where people have profits and they will need to be filling holes in other parts of their trading books, so their winning positions are getting closed. There are a lot of people already in this dollar trade, and certainly as carry trades are being closed, there will be people going long of the yen. And against a number of those currency pairs, it is accelerating. So it is a dangerous environment all around. A comparative haven of relative quiet is the gold market. Gold, of course, is a historically volatile instrument, but it is relatively less volatile at present because people are looking for a safe haven, and that is certainly helping to support the gold price. We saw today that as stock markets sold off, gold was up in excess of $25, and that is certainly a bonus. It's heading back up towards that $900 level. It's found support above the $750 level, and now we have a higher low. So it would really need to take out the low of a couple of days ago back down around the $825 level to offset potential for this to break above that $900 level. However, I firmly believe that it is unlikely we're going to see gold hitting significant new highs. It is a relative outperformer in here at the moment because everything else is heading south. But it remains unlikely that there is enough of liquidity and enough of demand to make gold a make or make gold's pattern into something that can push very well on the upside. And one of the reasons for that is because, just as I was saying earlier, the instruments that have done the best are the ones that are going to get hit the hardest. And anything that even begins to trend consistently will be recognized quite swiftly as an outperformer and will be considered by the bearish masses out there as the thing that is next to fall. For that very reason, it is unlikely that gold is going to push to significant highs above the $1,000 level. What we can anticipate is that it will be volatile, it will be best bought following those swift reactions, and that the greatest likelihood is that it is going to range laterally with a higher bias within that range. The other precious metals have sold off quite significantly. Platinum was up 37 in here today, so it's found support around that $1,000 round number. But it is still in a very consistent downtrend, and it needs to do significantly better than it has done to tell us that it has found significant support. The dollar in here today was a bit weaker, having pushed back above that 80 level on the dollar index. It wouldn't be too surprising for it to consolidate around here a little at least, but it would need to push well back below that level to offset scope for this to have been a major change of trend for the dollar. And it still looks like it has further to go on the upside. So that is something to be aware of over the coming weeks. Personally, I can't come up with a very firm or convincing or an argument that convinces myself of dollar bullishness or indeed yen bullishness, but because there are so many trades being closed out in these carry currencies and repatriation into what is considered safe, then the yen and the dollar have potentially further to go as this deleveraging process continues. But once deleveraging has run its course, and this could take a significant amount of time, it already has taken time, but we are seeing waves of capitulation coming over the last 6 or 7 months. And once the good rally that we're anticipating ends, we could get a further wave of selling, which could also help to support these currencies. But once deleveraging has run its course, I would expect the dollar and the yen to reassert on the downside. But that is looking a bit further out than what we're seeing in here at the moment. We also saw that treasuries were down a bit in here today, in excess, well, almost as a full point and a half. One of the reasons for that was because of this commercial paper investment that the Fed is preparing. And that is significant in that it should help to get these credit markets chugging along once more. And that is pointing towards less of a safe haven status for those treasuries. And we can probably anticipate yields arising a little bit in here, at least until we start to get these rate cuts that are looking increasingly likely. And with that, I will leave you for the evening, but thank you for your time, and I hope you have a good evening too.